Glad you did. Resurrection Sunday. Oh, you remember the passion of the Christ when that snake was in the garden? He went boom like that. And then after he rose from the dead, after all of that, and he's like boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom. And the drums started beating. That drum beat is still going. He is still passionate after people to walk in his power, to experience his love, to experience his salvation. Boy, praise God. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And we'll start there. And I'm going to go to verse 11. It says this. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Let me read that again. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Now, these words convey a huge body of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. You know, it's like when you read a verse like this, I don't know about you, but it's like this huge tree that just falls right down in front of you in a big earthly chunk. And then you look at it and you say, it's going to take a while for us to chop this up so we can use it. Amen? Because this is a big block of information. And but it's still at our feet, and we still need to know what to do with it. So what's it saying to, can we understand it? Can we use it? The answer to both is yes. Isn't that good?
Amen.
It's good. Is this something that's going to happen in the future when we're raptured? Or is this something that we have in heaven? Emphatically, no. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. I mean, look at it. I mean, if this was just unusable information that God was just spouting off in his word, why would it be in the Bible if we can't use it, if we can't do it, if we can't put it to work in our life? Why would he go through all of that? Especially when in Romans, which is the Christian manifesto of operating in God's principles and walking in truth. This is a reality that we can have working in our life. And the Bible tells us to be doers of the word too, and not hearers only. So this is his word, right? So we can do it. We can have it operating in our life. So let's go in. Let's just frame that there for now. And let's go into our weekly confession.
This word
is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing being imparted to me. This word is overpowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, just leave that up for a second, Barbara. Just take the first four words. This word is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything in the Word of God is just as much God as any other word. It's his Word, and it is his life, and it is his faith, and it is his hope, and it is his joy, and it is his love, and it is his peace. His Word is everything. And if we believe it, and if we take hold of it, and we stand on it, and we walk in it, The Bible will become a whole new book to you. It will become your living manual, your real-time manual for walking in the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's go. How about it, guys? I mean, do you want this? I want this. It's for the taking. You know, it's out there. And the life and the reproductive nature of the seed of the Word of God as it multiplies in your life will become your reality.
Amen.
That's the power that's in this thing. So let's go back to Romans 8:11, and we're going to look at this. We're going to chop this up a little bit so we can use it. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells, that means He lives in you. He abides in you. He's there. He's taken up occupation in you. He dwells in you. He, the Father, who raised Christ, the Anointed One, from the dead, will also quicken or give life. That word quicken is an old English word. It means to give life to. He will also give life to what?
Your mortal
bodies through His Spirit that dwells in you. Now, that's two times it says dwells in one verse, so we got to look at it. The word is oikeo. It doesn't refer to a one-sided kind of dwelling where the Spirit of God does everything, like He's interceding for you, He's doing it, that you have no part of. No, you have a big part in this. Because this word means a cohabitation. Now, you can look it up. It's a cohabitation where God's interest is equal to yours and probably even a lot more. But there is an equal interest in your well-being through this. He dwells in you. He's got an equal interest in everything in your life, every facet, every avenue, everything that affects you, every aspect of your life interests Him infinitely. And He wants to be infinitely involved in every aspect in your life, in your decisions, in your plans, in the things that affect you, career decisions, whatever it is. He wants to be in those things with you. Why? Because He wants to develop it to the full. He wants you to be everything that you can be. And He knows, because He's God, He's in the heaven, we're here on the earth. He's this big, we're like this. And He knows what's best for us, and He knows what we'll need 5 years from now, 10 years, 40 years from now. I still got 50 years left. So, 48 this July. But the point is, we need to listen to Him. I know the Good Shepherd. I know His voice. I hear Him. He leads. I follow. He gives me what? Eternal life.
Amen.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad?
Yes. Praise the Lord.
He is intimately involved with your decisions, plans, desires, your successes, and yes, even your failures.
Yes.
Does He jump ship every time there's a storm?
No.
Okay, He's still in your boat. Isn't that good to know?
Yes.
That feels good. I that gives me confidence. That gives me, takes the pressure off of me and puts it back on Him. That's what grace does. How He can take a drugged out rock and roll idiot, atheist, that's what the Bible calls a fool, is an atheist, and make a pastor out of me. He is an expert at taking failures and make them champions. He is an expert at taking losers and making them winners.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, He just is. If you failed in your life, God wants to add His resurrection power to that. If you failed in your marriage, He wants to give you resurrect. He wants to resurrect that relationship. with your kids, with whatever. Is there something in your life that has died or is dying on the vine and you need him to breathe life in it? I'm telling you, this verse of scripture is speaking to you today.
Amen.
It's one thing I like about God, how patient he is. Don't you love how patient he is with you? I mean, he is the God of all patience, the Bible says. You know why he's patient? Because of his overwhelming love. He loves you. God loves you. We sang that this morning. He loves us. Is it just a song or is it something you're worshiping for? Because that the reality of his love has been made known to you.
Amen.
That he would walk across oceans just for you. That he went out for that one little lamb. He left everything and he just came and got you. Amen. It means to cohabitate with us, to tabernacle with us, to share his nature, his love, his wisdom with us, and his presence with us. And that presence, by the way, evaporates all of the impatience and impetuous and wrong decisions that you can possibly make. You bask in his presence for 10 minutes every morning before you do anything. I'll tell you what, the rest of your day will be a lot easier and a lot of things will be taken out of play. Things that we try to do that. Well, we've spoken on numerous occasions about this scripture, about the resurrection power that lives in us. Yet, how many of us can say that we have experienced the fullness of the scripture? That the quickening power of the Holy Spirit is alive and vibrant? How many of us can say that? I don't see any hands. Good, you're honest. Well, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why, and we're going to talk about today. And I'm not going to, what I would like to do, but I'm not going to do it, but rather than give you like a graduate college, you know, seminary course in this, but I do want to give you enough to give you a really strong foothold in this so that you can start tapping into this and start receiving from it. You want that?
Yes.
Okay. You need to be equipped. That's what I want. We come here to get equipped, right? He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry. What ministry? The working of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you so that you're empowered to go out and reach a sighing, sick, dying, crying world who doesn't know up from down, they're right from their left. You do, though. If you know which way is up and which way is down, you know, Jesus is always up. Amen?
Amen?
So we're not talking about philosophy here. We're talking about spiritual law. Everybody say that. Spiritual law.
Spiritual law.
Laws work the same way all the time. Electricity, hydraulics, thrust and lift, whatever the physical law is, the law of whatever, they all work the same way all the time. So does the law of faith. We're talking about life, eternal life, life that comes from the indwelling Spirit of God that is a quickening power, a source that continually ministers life to you. What is that life? It is everything that God is. That life is the Zoe. It's his nature. It's what God is. It's his substance. That life that he adds to the weakness of your flesh. That life that he adds to your inability to grasp the situation that you're in and find an answer. No, because that life produces wisdom to know what to do when you don't know what to do. That life gives you understanding of the situation, how it happened, how to solve it. It's all in there. And it's in your mortal body.
Yes. Amen.
Why did Jesus come? Look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said the only reason the thief comes, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's exactly what he did with Adam. He killed Adam when he ate of the fruit. When he partook of something that violated the word of God. It stole. You know, there's a lot of times when we try to do something our own way, according to our own understanding and our own... We inherited that from Adam. The independence. You know, when Adam sewed those fig leaves together, it was the first thing that man did separate from God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's right.
He killed Adam when he ate of that fruit. He robbed the earth from Adam. He stole. He transgressed. And he destroyed man's union and fellowship with God when man chose to do what the devil said rather than what God said. Oh, but the good news is that Jesus said, I have come. Thank God that Jesus came. Thank God that Jesus came. Look, he said, and I came that they might have life, Zoe, eternal life, life eternal, life, life, life. This is good. The very nature of God is life.
Amen.
Zoe life. It's the substance of what makes God God. He said that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. More specifically, to the full until it overflows in your life. All of the essences of life. 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 You know, if you can go to many churches today, many gatherings of believers, whatever it is, and they're still waiting for God to do something. They're living their Christian life as if Jesus never went to the cross, never paid for your sins, never rose from the dead, never established a new and living covenant. They're living life as if Jesus never did all those things. And they're basically living according to Old Testament understanding where they're still waiting for God to do something. He has already done it. And he's given us his life. That doesn't mean he laid down his life for us. Yes, he did. But there's a life on the other side of that cross that he's calling us to, that he wants us to partake of, that he wants to be our reality.
Amen.
He wants us to be functioning in that life and not according to the precepts of this world. I mean, you can if you want, but it's not going to do you any good. The flesh profits nothing, he said. There's no good thing that can come out of your flesh. They don't preach the resurrection life. They preach sin. They've majored on it. Look, Jesus took it all away. And when we choose to walk in the life of God, according to what he did to give us that life, we'll find a new one. Amen. Romans chapter 10. I want to go to Romans chapter 10 here. But you see, let's just go back to here for a second. Let me lay this down. Jesus has an overwhelming desire to see you walk the way he walked. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, it says, and I think it's verse 7, it says, those who say that Jesus is their Lord should walk even as he walked. He wants you to walk as he walked, with the power that he walked in, with the life that he walked in, with the relationship and the fellowship with the Father that he had. He was our example, so that's why he did it. Romans 10, verse 8 says this, but what does it say? What does it say? What saith it, says the King James. What does it say? He's quoting from the Old Testament, that the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Boy, that's big too. That's another tree that just landed right in front of us. But here's the thing. The word... Where is the word? Near you, in your heart, and in your mouth, which is what? The word of faith, which we preach. Paul's message was the word of faith. People say to me, oh, you're one of those faith guys? Yeah. Big time. Yeah. I'm a faith guy. I'm a confessor of faith. Blab it and grab it. Well, what's the alternative? You know, you're talking about your problems, you're blabbing those, and you're grabbing them. And you keep talking about them, they'll grab you. And they'll run all over you. And they'll ruin your life. But if you turn around and you say about yourself what God says about you, that you are more than a conqueror, that you have what you say, that you are saved and you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven.
Amen.
I'll tell you, yes, I'm a faith guy. Jesus is our example. He walked by faith. If he didn't walk by faith, he would not have pleased God, and he would have not been just or righteous, because we are justified by faith. Now, he was just when he came into the world, but he put aside everything that rightfully belonged to him as God and walked as we do in the office of prophet and teacher, and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, defeated the devil and put him under his feet. You have that same Holy Spirit and the gifts available to you too. This is why we need to spend time in the Word and let the Word change us.
Amen.
Where are we here? Okay, yeah. He's quoting Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. This is kind of cool to go back into this and look at this. Let's go to that one. But the word is what? Very nigh unto you in your mouth and in your heart, that you may what? This is big. This is what Paul is quoting here in Romans 10. He's quoting from this in Deuteronomy. Now let's look at this. But the word is very near to you. Now the word nigh here is the word touching, like close touching. But very nigh means it's akin to you. The word is akin. It's part of you. This is good. It's in your mouth and in your heart. The word is mean akin, because of very near, it means akin to. It means of and of the same as its source. The word of God, when you speak it, you are acting in delegated authority, and you represent everything God is. And you cannot confess his word over your body and your body not respond to it, especially when you do it continually. Consistency is the trick there. It's not complicated, but you know what? We complicate it. It's simple, but people complicate it. Let's go back and look at how we were created, and we're going to understand this. A lot of people think that, I'm going back to Romans 8:11, Barbara. A lot of people think this means that he'll quicken our mortal body when we're raptured. No, because that's an instant. This is talking about an indwelling that is imparted to your mortal body, the forces of life. What does the Bible say? What does it say? People take this and they filter it through their own understanding, and as a result, they misunderstand it. What does it say? What does the Bible say? That's what we ought to be looking at. Let's look at the way man was made. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, sorry, I'll get back to Romans 8:11. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Right? Young's literal translation says, the man becometh a living creature. He didn't limit it just soul or creature. Soul is a pretty big word. I went to the ancient writings of the rabbis. And they give us yet another and more perfect understanding of what this is, of Adam's design and makeup. I'm quoting from the rabbis now, what they wrote about Genesis 2:7. It says, he blew into the nostrils the soul of life. Thus, God made Adam out of both lower earthy and upper heavenly matter. His body from the dust and the soul from the spirit. In other words, one who blows, blows from within himself, indicating that man's soul is part of God's very essence. I think they have a good handle on the Hebrew language, right? The ancient rabbis. And we know that God is eternal, so his essence is eternal. Man was not created to die. He was created to live forever. The soul made man a living being, which the rabbis define it this way. Man became a speaking spirit. Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a speaking spirit. We are the only ones in the universe. Angels can't do it. Anyone that we know of, anyhow. Is there life on other planets? I don't know. But if there was, this is the only planet that fell because God sent his only son here. And since it isn't in the Bible, it doesn't matter. What does it say? Okay. Got to apply it to every area. The Lord God formed man out of the dust, and he became. Now, back to the writings of the rabbis, says this, accordingly, the life that is unique to man and which only God could blow into him as the rational soul that includes the power of speech, the right to choose his own words and speak them. We are the only ones other than God who can choose their own words and speak them. Angels can't do that. This is what elevates a human above animal life, the ability and therefore the responsibility to use his intelligence in God's service. Do you know that you can walk like God, talk like God, think like God, believe like God? This is the way he created us, as a speaking spirit, and it all starts right here. You know, Jesus became a man, he became a speaking spirit, came into a human body, and he said this, it is the, in John 6, 63, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Do you see what's happening here? He's walking in the laws of the spirit of life that are in him. And all through his ministry, he said, you know, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem and he's going to be betrayed and handed over to the scribes and Pharisees, and they're going to deliver him over to the Gentiles and he will be beaten and crucified. But on the third day, he'll rise again. He said it over and 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 over again. He said in Matthew 16, this is when Peter took him aside. He said, you got to stop saying this. And he says, okay, Satan. He says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests, and that he was going to rise again. What was he doing? He was speaking the word of God that was scriptures that were prophesied about him. He was speaking it. What was he doing? He was sowing seed. According to Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower will unlock all of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Matthew 17, verse 9, and as he came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be what? Risen again. Matthew 20, he said, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles and mock and scourge him and crucify him. And on the third day he will rise again. What's he doing? He's sowing seed towards his resurrection. He's sowing seed towards his resurrection. He's giving God something to work with. Not only that, but he's describing this to the disciples, which God gives God the Father the legal right to work all of these things, all the prophecies that were prophesied about Jesus in all the events up to and leading up to his arrest, his trial, his persecution, his mocking, everything. And he brought his Jesus' words gave the Father the right to bring the 250 some odd prophecies all together. You have that same spirit that raised him from the dead that is quickening you, and you can speak the same thing. Say, my future is bright. God's going before me. I have the spirit of the living God quickening me. My body will, when I get there tomorrow, this body's going to be fine. No problem, no weakness, nothing. Because I have the word of God living in me, and I'm speaking the word of God, and I'm sowing seed that will come to fruition tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, and I'm going to continue in it. I'm going to submit to the word of God, not to my body. I'm going to submit to the word of God, not my budget, not my whatever my checkbook says. I call it full. I call myself successful. Amen. You see, I pray, John said, I'm praying that you would be as prosperous and in health as your soul prospers. If your soul is prospering, that means you're thinking prosperity. You're thinking health. You're thinking deliverance. You're thinking strong, power, blessing. You know, you're thinking, and you're talking that way. What are you doing? You're sowing seed towards the very end that you have declared. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is what? The word of faith which we preach. Oh, there's joy in the house when you know who you are and you can say it and you know who God is in you. Jesus, Jesus, he's showing us, he's still teaching us, and the Holy Spirit is making it real and quickening it to us, amen? Amen. Ha, praise God, he kept on saying, John, in Matthew 20, Mark 10, Luke 9, he kept on saying the thing, what's he doing there? He's sowing seeds towards his future. That's why he was created that way. Look at this, we were created that way. How is man created in Genesis chapter 1? God said, let there be light. He said, he called the light day, the darkness night, da 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 da. Then, that was the end of the first day. And then verse 6, it says, God said. Verse 9, God said. Verse 11, God said. Verse 14, God said. Verse 20, God said. Verse 24, God said. He did a lot of talking. Yes. Are you made in his image and in his very likeness now that you're born again? Yes. God said. Verse 29, and God said. Like 9 times, God said. God said. God said. And then in verse 31, it says, God saw. What did he see? He saw what he said. When you start speaking your problems, when you start speaking your fears, when you start speaking sickness over your body, when you start speaking all of these things, you are giving the devil avenue into your life to fulfill his will. But when you speak the word of God and his blessings, that I am the healed in Jesus' name. I am not. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you start speaking that, now you're giving God, he can shove the devil out of you. He can change your mind. He can renovate all of your thoughts and get rid of all of the old ones and start boom, 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 putting in his thoughts towards you, which are good and not evil. His plans for you. Ah. You see why Paul and Silas were in there and they were praising God. They saw their situation was not good. Right? And picture yourself in that. They were thrown in the inner prison yet, and they had no promise of being released. The only promise that they had, they'd probably be executed. Have you ever been in a situation where it's hopeless? Well, Paul was in that many times, a hopeless situation. What was his answer? Praise you, Jesus, that you are my advocate with the Father. Praise you, Lord. Oh, sing heaven and earth. Let everything that has life and breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that thing started shaking. The doors got knocked off and the prisoners went free. I'm telling you, there's no reason for anybody here ever to be a prisoner again, ever. Because you can speak what his blessing says about you. That you are blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed is the fruit of your body, blessed is the fruit of your basket, blessed is the blessed, blah, 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 blah. Blessed! This is the way you were created. Just like God. If this is the way God does things, and he sent Jesus, who is God, into this, and he did it too, and he started prophesying, I'm telling you something, you can prophesy your own resurrection. Of your own marriage, of your own relationship with your kids, of your own career, of everything, the very dreams that God had for you. He probably inspired those dreams. He knows what they are. You think they died. They didn't. He's there to breathe them to life. Yes. Excuse me. Did I spit on you? Didn't mean to. You know, Jesus spit on a guy. And his eyes opened. You know what he did? He made spittle out of the ground, right? Out of the dust of the earth. And he said, here's the way we did it back in the beginning. And he put the mud on his eyes, and his eyes were brand new. Look, it all goes back to the beginning. You are who God says you are. You can do what he says you can do. You have what he says. And you are seated where he is. That's your seat of authority. When Jesus was raised from the dead in the mind of God, you were raised from your death, the dead spirit. And you have been raised up together with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places, in a seat of authority that's been given to you. Now let's act like it. Let's speak what he says and use that delegated authority to declare a future that resurrection gives us. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you got something out of that today. If you didn't, I did. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's not all poor as me. No, happy is me. Happy is the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, which will not return to you void, but will accomplish that which you sent it to do, and it will prosper in its purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to watch over your word, to bring it to perfection in our life, to bring us into the fulfillment of your word concerning us. We thank you, Lord. And I just want to, I hate to end any service without giving somebody an opportunity to be joined to my Lord, my friend, my Savior, my God. He's your God if you want him. So pray this simple prayer with me. Say this, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe his blood paid for all my sins. I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I receive the indwelling of your spirit. I thank you that I am saved, that I am delivered, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let this be the first day of new words coming out of your life, out of your mouth. Let this be the first day that you can look ahead to the future and say, you're mine. You're not going to dictate to me. I'm going to dictate to you. God has called me his, and I am joined to the one who makes all things new. Amen. God's good. God's good. God's good. God's good. It's a new day. Brand new day. You are dismissed. There is...